Welcome to the Council of Trent podcast, a production of Catholic Answers.
Oh, back to school, doing my Adam Sandler Billy Madison impersonation. That really fell apart there at the end. Welcome. I'm Catholic Answers apologist and speaker Trent Horn. This is the Council of Trent podcast, but it is Free for All Friday. Monday and Wednesday, we talk apologetics and theology. Friday, we talk about whatever I want to talk about. For many of you listening, the school year is coming to an end. You might be really excited for summer vacation. Woohoo! And so I'm going to burst your bubble because you might think, well, summer vacation is for me to go out and work on the farm, but now I can just go and play. Well, I want to share with you some myths, misunderstandings people have about public school and the things that are in public school, at least two of those, and then another interesting story that I came across that is so public school. I think it's really funny. So let us jump right into that then. The first one would be summer vacation. When I was a kid, I loved summer vacation, and it felt like it went on forever. And so for me as a child, that was a source of joy. For my parents, maybe not as much, right? But I mean, in a lot of places, now this is changing, and I'll explain why. But in a lot of places, I mean, it's amazing. You're done in May, you come back in August, but you usually have about 3 months of time off from school. So at the beginning of summer vacation, I was jazzed. Like, yeah, this is awesome. I remember, I think I was in eighth grade, and my freshman year English teacher sent all of us the summer reading list. And I was like, what the heck is this? You want me to read some book about mice and men? Come on. You know, this is summer vacation. I really need to read this, even though Of Mice and Men is actually a pretty short book. What did I have to read? I had to read Of Mice and Men, Great Expectations. Oh, Great Expectations is the worst. I don't care. I think it was the first line of the book. I opened it. I'm going to try to quote it from memory here because I remember I hated it. My Christian name being Philip and my English name being Pirip, my infant tongue could only sound the name Pip, and hence my name came to be. Nope. Close that and put it away. I don't want to care about reading about this and crazy Miss Havisham and her weirdo dress. I mean, obviously I did read it because I tried to be cultured, you know. But I don't want to read these over the summer. Don't do that to me. I don't tell my English teacher, hey, these are the pop culture topics I need you to know about because I'm going to bring them up in class. So you need to read these and watch these movies over summer vacation. No, summer vacation is to relax and play Super Nintendo. Eat Otter Pops. Play Pogs. You can tell I'm a child of the 90s. Listen to Now That's What I Call Music, Volume 3. Okay? Now That's What I Call Music came out. I think it was after I was in elementary school. It was probably when I was like in junior high. All right. But summer vacation, though, it's weird. Now, at the beginning of it, I loved it. But by the end of summer vacation, especially when I'm older, like 7th, 8th, 9th grade, I was kind of scared. When August rolled around, I would think, wow, I don't remember anything I learned, like especially things like math. It's like, oh, I don't remember how to do that. So there's a tremendous amount of learning loss. So why would we do this? Well, why would we have summer vacation in the first place? And many people will tell you, well, Trent, the reason was when schools were invented in the U.S., the kids all had to leave in the summer to harvest the fields. And so now we don't do that anymore, but it's just stuck around because we needed to have that in there because, well, you know, it was even Time Magazine had said that the school calendar is a legacy of the farm economy. But that's not actually true. There's an article here at PBS News Weekend. It says, agrarian roots think again, debunking the myth of summer vacations origins. So it says here actually in rural areas, most kids went to school during the summer in like a rural schoolhouse. Why? Because you needed them in the fall to plant the crops. And in the, oh wait, no, when is it? No, you harvest in the fall. And you plant in the spring, you harvest in the fall, right? So in the spring, they had to plant the fields. In the fall, they had to harvest, okay? So when the best time to school them was actually in summer. They would just go to there's not really that much for them to do, and they'll go to the little one-room schoolhouse, and they would learn. So where did we get this idea, though? There was the idea that you had to make some exceptions throughout the year for them, but it really wasn't summer that much. Rather, it was in urban schools.
Rural schools, not a big deal. It's hot in the summer, but you got your one-room schoolhouse, you open the windows, fine, not a big deal. Urban schools were the problem, that in the big cities in like the mid-19th century, kids would go to school. It says here that New York City schools in 1842 were open 248 days a year, much more than the 180 that they are open today. But the problem was in the summer when school was open, a lot of the wealthier families, they would leave. They'd go on vacation. They'd go to a summer home because the city, in the city, it was really, really hot and uncomfortable and even dangerous. You didn't want to be there. And this is, of course, air conditioning wouldn't be invented for another, like, at least wouldn't be invented and used wide scale for another 120, 130 years, really. At least another century. So people would flee, and that's why, in order to create a uniform school calendar with the rural schools and the urban schools, they took this into account that most people wanted to get out of the schools anyway in the summer because it was too hot to send kids. You couldn't focus, you couldn't learn. And so now, so that is where it came from. It wasn't so poor kids could get off and farm in the fields. It was so rich because not even rich, but even middle class, they just left. You know, you go visit relatives in a cooler part of the country or whatever it may be, or at least you just don't want to be in a schoolhouse. It's just too darn hot. That is the origin of the summer vacation, not the idea that you needed them to be in the fields, because summer was the one time you actually don't need to be in the fields very much. Here's the next one. PE. PE was a weird class. I had to take it 1 year of high school, freshman year. And I was really grateful because I had PE sixth period, which was the last period of the day. So you don't have to do the awkward stuff of, well, there's the awkward thing, right? You got to do PE, then you got to shower and go to class. Who wants to shower at school? Who wants to go in what looked like, I'd almost rather shower in a prison shower room than the showers at a school. Like, it's just gross. Like, who wants to do that, really? And honestly, I don't even know too many people who did do that. I don't. There's a listing for you. Did you shower in PE? Did you? Or did you not? There's a poll for you. Now, I didn't because I was lucky. PE was at the end of the day. It was the last class. So even if I was sweaty or whatever, well, I'm going to go home anyways. So, you know, it doesn't matter. You would go and do that. Or other people, they were going to go do sports practice anyways. So what does it matter if they're sweaty from PE? Honestly, though, when I did PE, I don't remember sweating very much. It was just like, run a few laps. I don't remember doing very much else for PE. But we do PE a lot, though, in elementary school, middle school. Why? Why do we have PE? It's kind of weird, right? Like, you know, we go to school to learn. We don't really learn anything in PE. Are we that deprived of exercise? The government thinks we need it? Yes. But you might think, well, Trent, they created PE so kids wouldn't be unhealthy. That was part of the reason, but it's not the whole reason. According to this article, it says that PE was actually first implemented in the mid-19th century. Physical education made its way to the United States. The reasoning was similar to that of what the Greeks were using it for, like in ancient Greece, to both educate and train soldiers for battle. That's right. Like after the Civil War, and then going through, especially up to World War I, people saw that American soldiers were out of shape. They were worried that like young people that were going to be sent off to war were actually not fit enough for it, especially with World War I. So physical education regimens became much more common in schools, and they were rooted to be like training in the military. That's essentially a way to train kids to be little soldiers. But then the concern about nutrition came about with JFK. Obesity is not just an issue America is facing in the modern day. Following World War II, there was fear that the country's youth were gaining weight at a fast pace and thus becoming out of shape. I couldn't imagine their thought, like, heavens to Betsy, little Bert is putting on some weight. Even though if we went back to school to the 50s, we'd look at all those kids and think, these kids are not overweight at all. They're not obese in the slightest, probably, compared to what the way things are today with the obesity crisis. I'll give you an example of that. When I went to Disneyland several years ago, It's a Small World was closed, thankfully. It's a fine enough ride, not a favorite. It's kind of annoying, yeah, but it had some merit to it. So It's a Small World was closed for renovation, and I looked up why it was closed. It's a Small World takes you on a boat ride through, you know, all the parts of the world, and the kids are all singing It's a Small World over and over again. which, by the way, It's a Small World as a song is written in a peculiar way so that it's a musical barbershop pole. You know how a barbershop pole, you know, those old red and white poles, they spin and it looks like it keeps, like, the little stripes keep going up forever? Barbershop pole. You know what I'm talking about. Well, there's a musical version of the barbershop pole where you have a song that doesn't feel like it begins or ends. It just keeps going and going. So there are tones that you can do that makes it seem like the tone keeps going up and up forever, but it's kind of an illusion. But the song, It's a Small World, was written in a way so that it doesn't have a beginning or an end. You could loop it constantly, much to people's chagrin on that ride. My point, though, what does that have to do with obesity? They closed it down because people had gotten so much heavier since the 1960s when It's a Small World was built that the boats were dragging in the little canals that they ran in. The boats kept dragging along because there wasn't enough of a draft of the boat's draft. The canals they ran in were not deep enough because people were weighing them down with their 21st century girth. So that is what happened with that. And so it's just interesting to me that they were even concerned in the 50s, like kids are sitting around eating TV dinners, put them into shape. So they really pushed it with JFK. And then I remember the presidential physical fitness test. That was actually stressful. When I was in elementary school, Bill Clinton telling us we had to do the presidential physical fitness test. The guy who Saturday Night Live has a great sketch where Phil Hartman goes to McDonald's as Bill Clinton, and it's just perfect. But he did it, and I remember Arnold Schwarzenegger, you've got to get in shape. Come on. Do it already. And you had to run around the field, and you had to, like, pass these tests. You had to do a certain number of pull-ups, a certain number of push-ups. It was the presidential physical fitness test. And it was stressful, but it was kind of fun. And then Obama got rid of all of that. And now it's, like, 8 or 10 different metrics for people to make sure they're healthy. Holistic. None of that stuff from the 90s where it's like, we're going to make you do this and we don't care if you're offended. So that's the PE class was actually to make little soldiers. That was its original intended purpose, if you didn't know that. Finally, here's an article, April 1st, 2022, not an April Fool's joke. A high school banned students from selling snacks. Predictably, a black market for snacks emerged. A sociologist spent 112 days tracking students' illicit deals for chips and other goodies. It's hilarious. It's kind of a microcosm of what happens with drugs and other things like that in our country. When you outlaw it, you create this kind of black market. I love how the article starts. When Carlos got pinched by the fuzz, he was holding some hot commodities. Flaming hot, in fact. No, that's not slang. The illegal behavior that landed Carlos, not his real name, in detention was the illicit sale of chips, I'm guessing Flaming Hot Doritos. For his crime, he was sentenced to a one-day suspension from school. As Carolyn Gorski, a doctoral candidate in sociology, relates in a paper, Carlos is just one small part of a robust black market for snack foods that persists at Hamilton High, not the school's real name. So they had this zero-tolerance policy saying that the students were eating unhealthy foods, so you're not allowed to bring in snacks. Snacks are illegal. So what happened? Well, people still bring in snacks and they just sold them and did it secretly with other people. And so it's amazing. They're worried about the kids' health. So they end up giving them in-school suspension, which they write the high school equivalent of solitary confinement, which itself is not good for your physical health just to sit in in-school suspension all day. So what's amazing about it is that it says within the school environment, not all snack sales were illicit. Students in a Spanish club selling cookies to raise money for a field trip to Peru, were allowed to carry their wares openly and advertise on posters. Sellers working for their own gain did not have the luxury of such a promotion. The school did not deem their reasoning for selling stuff for their own personal expenditures to be worth it. So it's just so interesting that, yeah, it's once again a typical microcosm that the government can sell something. You try to sell it on your own without a license, then you're in trouble, but the government can do it. I just thought that this was just really interesting. Gorski points to an even more pernicious parallel. Prisons, where the passing of illegal goods ranging from cigarettes to hard drugs is similarly handled via a black market. Indeed, the government can't even keep drugs out of prisons. How could the drug war be anything but a failure everywhere else? That's a topic for another time I should address. The war on drugs, probably one of our biggest failures of all time. How could it be rehabilitated? What should we look at with drugs? Like, I remember being in DARE. That was a waste. I'm not going to go down that road too much. I should save that for another free-for-all Friday. But how it ends. Let's see here. A few days after Carlos was busted for his illegal snack sales, Gorski reported that the student was the target of profiling by the school security guards, who approached him as he arrived at Hamilton one morning. They asked me if I was selling, and I said, nah, because I stopped, Carlos told the researcher. Had he learned his lesson? Well, yes, actually. But they don't know, he told Gorski with a smirk, that my two employees are still selling. So now the school just turned Carlos. He went from being a low-level Flaming Doritos peddler to being the Tony Montana of Flaming Doritos peddlers running this Flaming Doritos empire. And soon they're going to see him with his head in a pile of Flaming Doritos seasoning. Say hello to my little friend. That was just goofy. All right, hey, that was a lot of fun. Hope you learned some new things about school. I took you to school about school. But that was fun, and yeah, I just hope you guys have a very blessed week.
If you liked today's episode, become a premium subscriber at our Patreon page and get access to member-only content. For more information, visit TrentHornPodcast.com.